I'm thankful to see each of you here this evening. And I know our brother Jim comes prepared to bring us a message. As I think about Jim, I cannot ever think about a time in my life that Jim hasn't been there. About as long as I can remember, which isn't as long as it used to be. When I was a kid, you know, way back, I remember Jim being there. And I know he has a desire to serve the Lord, and I know he comes prepared this night to bring us a message, and so I'm going to let him do so. Jim?
Thank you, Andy. Since Andy talked about when he was a kid, I have to tell a story. It's an Andy story. I think he was maybe 5 or 6 years old, was just learning to count. And we were up at the ranch, and he said, show me your fingers, and I'll count them. So I started throwing fingers up, and he was counting them. And after about 3 or 4 times of that, Andy being Andy, he lost interest. He turned around and started walking away. But I just kept flopping fingers up. I didn't know I got into a rhythm of repetitive fingers. But as he's walking away, he was like, 1, 4, 5, 6. As he's walking out the door, and that's exactly what I was holding up. I know he didn't have eyes in the back of his head. So it has been, he and his family have been a big part of my family all of my adult life and most of my teenage life as well. We're told in the scriptures that on the second coming of Christ is going to be in the time of Noah, which means that to me is that we're to live life. We are to be active in the things that we have to do to survive in our culture, the society. We have to go to school. We will date. We will marry. We will have children, we will raise children, we'll see grandchildren, just everything about life. In our local, in the last month, we've seen two things happen. One, we had a life brought into our local. And then we lost a life. But that's part of life. That is what happens in a thriving local, a thriving community. In the Church of Christ, we are a community. And that's the way it should be. Never ending. One comes into the world, one goes out of the world. It's all part of life. And so I was thinking about that and contemplating it. And a scripture in Ecclesiastes came to my mind, and that's where I'm going to start and kind of base my sermon upon on the things of life and 6 things that we have to do or should be doing. Ecclesiastes in the 3rd chapter, reading the 1st to the 10th verses and then the 17th verse, we read, "To everything there is a season and a time and every purpose under heaven, a time to be born." We had that. I haven't got to see it. And I was disappointed it was not born on my birthday, by the way. I just want to let it out there. And a time to die. A time to plant. And a time to pluck up that which was planted. A time to kill. A time to heal. A time to break down. And a time to build. A time to weep. And a time to laugh. And a time to mourn. And a time to dance. Today, I saw some weeping. I saw some laughing. A great life to be remembered. What is our goal in our life? One of the things that I think we have, and I don't have it written down here, it just came to my mind, is how do we want to be remembered? We don't know how many days we have on this earth. Only God knows that. But what legacy do you want to leave behind? There was a time in my life I wanted to be known as a good paramedic. A very good paramedic. And I think I accomplished that. A good nurse. I think I accomplished that. My children may not say a good dad. My wife may not say a good husband. But those are accomplishments that I wanted to have. But as I was sitting here today listening, I thought, the greatest accomplishment that any of us could have is to be known as a godly person. A person that lived their religion. The greatest accomplishment that we could have is to have those talk about how I may have touched their lives in a good way. May have had an impact in a way to help them in their Christian walk. So as we go through these things, think about what kind of impact do you want to have? What legacy do you want to leave behind? And I hope it's not a statue or a fancy building. I hope it is, I wanted to be godly. And I wanted to portray that godliness. A time to cast stones and a time to gather stones together. And a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rent, and a time to sow. A time to keep silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. And a time of war, and a time of peace. That verse kind of hit me odd today. Thinking about what kind of legacy I want to leave behind, I started thinking about a time to hate. Interesting. So I had to look it up, and I looked it up in Strong's, and the Hebrew is to personally hate an enemy. A time to hate an enemy. And oddly enough, in my Bible, if I looked at the correlation, and they sent me over into Luke, in the 14th chapter, in the 26th verse, where it talked about you must hate your parents, your brother, your sister, your family, everything opposite of what God has taught us and what Christ taught us. The greatest commandment, or the second greatest commandment, is love your parents. So I started wondering about, wow, the time to hate. In the Greek, in Luke, it is to detest. To detest. So I started thinking and praying about it, and Alma came into mind. Alma, the 17th chapter, page 441. Very well-known verse it should be to us. If it's not, Alma 17, verses 65 through 68. And now, my son, this is Alma to Helaman, remember the words which I have spoken to you. Trust not those secret plans of this people, but teach them an everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity. What are we to hate? Who is the enemy to our soul? That's who we're to hate. not one another. When we're being attacked, when we're sinning, that is what we need to hate. And Alma goes on, he says, preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly in heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil with their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly of heart. For such shall find rest to their souls. Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all your support. Page 93 in the Book of Mormon, 2 Nephi, the third chapter. One verse, 2 Nephi, the third chapter, verse 53. Will thou make, and this is Nephi's prayer to the Lord, will thou make me that I may shake at the appearance of sin? That I may shake at the appearance of sin. That's how bad we're to hate sin and iniquity. So it made verse 8 in Ecclesiastes a little easier for me to understand, because I think the scriptures support that, what I am to hate. And there's a time of war. I will get into it in a little bit, but we are told to put on the armor of God. We're to war against sin. And a time to have peace. And that's here. To find peace and rest is here. Worshiping God with our brothers and sisters. Coming to meet the Lord Jesus. Coming to feel the presence of His Father. We have that promise. Where two or three of us meet, He will be there also. We desire it. A time to have peace and rest for your soul. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given unto the sons of men, to be exercised therein. We've seen those travails. Turn with me into Genesis, and we get an idea of those travails that we have to labor in. Genesis, the third chapter. This is the Lord speaking to Adam and Eve. He just got done cursing Satan, or cursing the serpent. I'm going to start in verse 10. Verse 16. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thou shalt desire to be, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake in sorrow, and thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. In sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, until thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shall ye return. In our society, we don't have to plow. We just walk to the grocery store. But we still have to labor for our means. We still have to work in the world. Things are not given to us like they were in the garden, where if you're hungry, you just walked up to a tree and plucked the fruit. Or you pulled a carrot out of the ground and washed it and ate it, or a turnip. We have to labor for the things that we do. We heard today of Meredith's labors, and she often made fun of herself over them. We are no different. We labor each and every day for everything that we have. We labor for our families. We labor for the food on the table. We labor for friends in time of need. We labor and we toil. But it doesn't matter how hard we have to labor. It doesn't matter how hard our life has been or could be. We can dust ourselves up. We can plaster a smile on our face and know that our God is right there with us to pick us up and to help us to deal with the mess that we made. And I like to say, he never had to help me. But I've made a lot of messes. Part of my youth and stupidity. Part of my arrogance. But God was always there to help me make it right. Meredith, that was her testimony. God was always there to make it right, to help her correct her mistakes. I'd like to go back into Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3 again, and read verse 17. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every good work. Everything we do is laid out before God. In verse 2, it talks about a time to be born and a time to die. Between our first breath and our last breath is a time of probation for us, the scriptures tell us. A time to prepare to meet our Lord. There are times that we're slothful. I have been. There's times that I've been very zealous. There has to be a happy medium. It's called being steady and enduring to the end. But there is going to be a time for judgment when we die. Brian touched upon this today, and I would like to touch on it again because this is the importance of what we do in this lifetime. We're not like the Hindus that believe that when you take your last breath here in this life, you automatically are reborn in another life. That's not what the scriptures tell us. Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter in the 7th verse, which Brian touched upon, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Dropping down to the 13th verse, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, where it be good or where it be evil. There is nothing that we can do in this lifetime that is hidden from God. We can hide it from ourselves. And I have had friends that have tried to do that. We can try to hide it from others. But it will be made known to God. We cannot hide a single thing from him. So what should we do during our lifetime? And I have 6 things that I would like to touch upon that we need to do during that lifetime between our breath and our last breath. So I'm going to turn over into John in the 14th chapter. Everybody probably knows what I'm going to read since I say John 14. Because it is used all the time. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's one of the things that we need to do. We need to strive to keep God's commandments. How are we going to learn those things? Some of it's by the foolishness of preaching. Some of it was at our parents' knee. Some of it is studying the scriptures. Some of it is coming and listening to testimonies and fellowshipping one with another. Verse 21, it says, if you have my commandments, keep them. He that loveth me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. If you love him, you keep his commandments. Verse 23, it says, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. What a precious promise. One, I think that we often forget. If we love him, we'll keep his commandments. He will always be there and make his abode with us. So we're to keep his commandments. Another one we'll read about in 2 Timothy. Second chapter, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I know there are those that will say that that's being written to a member of the ministry. To study to show himself approved before God. But not just for ministry. For each and every one of us. We are to study the scriptures. We're to know them. So how else can you testify of the hope that you have within you if you don't know what you have a hope for? Foolishness of preaching will hear it. But our responsibility does not end in going to school. We have to take some responsibility upon ourselves and study the Scriptures, to read it, to become familiar with it. I remember Louise McAdoo trying to get me to learn verses. She might as well talk to the wall. I could try and try and try. My cousin Ed, read it, pick it up, and have it. And he'd sit there and go, okay, Jim, look at it this way. And he'd try to help me. But I could never remember Scriptures. To this day, I cannot tell you where I found something. I can remember the general idea of what's being said. And it's in the books. It's in the Bible, Book of Mormon. But if you try to pin me down, who wrote it? I'm in trouble. I don't have an aptitude for that. But that's not an excuse for me not to study the Scriptures and not to become more familiar with them, more comfortable with using them, more comfortable with quoting them to people when we talk to them, which will make us something that I'm going to talk about here in a few more minutes. A peculiar person. Because the world doesn't see or feel the need to have a God in their lives. That's why we have to be a burning light in a dark, dark world. First Corinthians. Chapter 13, verse 11. And Paul is talking. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Part of putting away things is taking time, becoming a good steward of your time. Put time to study and read the Scriptures. So we're to grow up from our childhood spiritually. As our children grow up into adulthood, spiritually we are to grow and not be stagnant. The psalmist in Psalms 34 put it this way. I wrote it, but I can't read my own writing, so I will have to go to the Scriptures and read it. Psalms 34, verse 11. For the work of a man shall be rendered unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. The life we live comes back to us. It does have impact on others. But when we go to lay down this life and we go to stand before our Savior, our life is ours. I wonder sometimes if we're going to be allowed to try to explain ourselves, because that's the human way. Let me explain while I'm thinking what I'm thinking. Let me explain why I did what I wanted to do. and try to explain our way out of it. I wrote down the wrong scripture for my next thought that explained that very thing, that what we do in our life is a portrait that we're going to paint that others will remember and will see. I'd like to turn over into 1 Nephi on page 77. For another thing that we should do. 1 Nephi, the 7th chapter, reading 66 through the 70th verses. And wherefore, my brethren, I would that ye should consider the things which have been written upon the plates of brass, which are true. Speaking of the Book of Mormon, but we can apply it to all the scriptures. It doesn't matter which book we're looking at. We should consider the things which are written there that are true. And they testify that a man should be obedient to the commandments of God. We read that, Christ's words, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Wherefore, if you need not suppose that I or my Father are the only ones that have testified and also taught them. Wherefore, if you shall be obedient to the commandments and endure to the end, and ye shall be saved at the last day. And thus it is. Amen. We should endure whatever life throws at us. And I'm not one that thinks that Satan does everything to us. I believe that life happens. Life happens. I spilled a cup of coffee on myself the other day, flopping down in a chair. No, wasn't quite as good as Meredith. I spilled it on me. And it was hot. Nobody caused that. Life happened. I burnt my chest. But there were people standing around me. How I reacted, I hope, point and made a good impression on their mind. And not a bad one. Second Nephi, the 6th chapter, on page 108. Reading verses 42 to 50. But behold, the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they who have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they who have endured the crosses of this world and despised the shame of it, they shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be fulfilled forever. Brian this morning touched on a scripture that I thought about using. It's in Matthew. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. If we endure whatever crosses that come our way, and we put forth a godly attitude, a godly presence, and we keep His commandments, we have this promise that he shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Oh, the greatness of the mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel, for he delivered his saints from the awful monster, the devil, and death and hell and the lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. And he saved us from that. And you can read about that in Revelation in the 20th chapter. What happens to them? Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. He knows all that we do. We can try to hide it. If he wants it made public, it will be. Just like David's sins were made very public. He repented very public for them. And he cometh unto the world that he may save all men if they hearken unto his voice. What did we read in in John? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you hear my word and do them. For behold, he suffered the pain of all men, yea, the pain of every living creature, both men and women and children, who belong to the family of Adam. And he suffers this, that the resurrection might pass unto all men, that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. Important thing. And I would like to take a moment and step back and talk to those that have not yet made that decision about baptism. Understand, it is a commandment. It's a commandment of the God that you are to be baptized. And for those of us that have been baptized, talk about it a lot. Not to point fingers and not to try to put pressure on you, but if you haven't been baptized, understand, in order for me to talk about the hope that I have within me, I must point out that baptism is a way that you can get into that and share that hope. And partake of that God has to offer us. And the scriptures are plain. You must be baptized. And I know sometimes it seems like those of us that have been baptized might be overbearing. But it's done with love and excitement because we want you there. We want you to see and to feel and to know the presence of God as we know him. And to be able to partake of the covenant that Christ has made with us. The very reason that he suffered all for us and gave all for us. The very reason that he brought the plan of salvation and redemption and delivered unto the children of men. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name and endure to the end, they must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has spoken it. Mosiah, the 9th chapter, on page 259. Hosea 9, reading two verses, verse 44 and then 50. Verse 44, and when he had said these words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. This is where Alma went out and prayed, and he asked specifically that the Spirit of the Lord would be upon him before he baptized. Start over again. And when he had said these words, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he said, Helaman, I baptize thee, having authority of Almighty God. Important thing to remember, you have to be baptized by one that has authority. The authority that God gave him to do that ordinance. It wasn't something that he just picked up on his own. It's something that God had to give him, the authority to baptize. A testimony that ye have entered into the covenant to serve him until you are dead as a mortal body. And may the Spirit of the Lord be poured out upon you, and may he grant unto you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, whom he hath prepared from the foundation of the world. Christ was prepared, and the way to meet the requirements was prepared from the beginning. Verse 50. And it came to pass that whoever was baptized by the power and authority of God was added to his church. That is something very important. Being added to a group of people that can help support you, that can understand the things that you say, understand your enthusiasm, your enjoyment, your happiness, even sadness. We're talking about endurance, enduring to the end after you're baptized. 2 Timothy. When I was reading it, kind of jumped up at me. One verse in the second chapter. Verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore art enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're to endure what has come to us. But it was the fact that it said a good soldier that caught my eye. A good soldier goes out and tries to the best of their ability to follow the orders that was given to them by their commanders. A good Christian soldier goes out and tries their level best to keep God's commandments to the best of their abilities. Being a soldier might be a nasty word in society today, but remember that in Ephesians in the 6th chapter, we're told to put on the whole armor of God. That makes you a soldier. And I remember in boot camp, for the first 2 weeks, they broke us down. They took 46 guys that could not work as a unit. And they totally broke us down mentally and physically. But at the end of boot camp, we were a well-oiled machine. We could work together. That's what Christianity should be, a well-oiled machine that where we can work well together in testifying of the hope that we have within us. First Peter talks about that machine a little bit. First Peter, the second chapter, verse 9. Because ye are a chosen generation, each of us has our own generation within our lifespan, within the body of Christ. It has been a chosen generation. God chose you because you accepted His commandments to be baptized. He chose you to go out and become His ambassador. He chose you to be a light unto the world. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise unto Him who has called you out of the darkness unto His marvelous light. A peculiar people. A peculiar people that want to do good. The peculiar person that will not succumb to peer pressure, stand up for what is right, and not just follow along with the herd. A peculiar person who's not afraid to stand up and testify the hope that they have within them. We are to be a peculiar people. Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, we read this in the 12th verse. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. We have to fight against our very nature sometimes. Is not to do good. It is an enemy to God. But we are to rejoice and to do good in this lifetime. So what are the six things? One is we're to keep the commandments of God. We're to study the Scriptures. Study the Word to show ourselves approved before Him. We're to grow in the Word and in knowledge. We're to endure whatever life throws us. We are to be baptized. And we are to be a peculiar people. Or a peculiar person that does good. These are the things that we are supposed to be. And I was like Joel, I didn't want to stand up and say anything because I felt like I was getting into the thing of repeating. But these are the things that Meredith taught me. To always do good and have a smile on your face, even in times of adversity. And why she told so many jokes on herself, I don't know. But she had that habit and always had a chuckle. That's what we're to be to the world. And Brian talked about it a little bit. I want to just bring to remembrance, if you want to write down a scripture that points to this, it's in 2 Nephi, the 6th chapter, verses 81 to 82. It's on page 110. That when we go and we lay down our lives, and we read in Ecclesiastes, our life goes back, our spirit goes back to the God that gave it life. That is Christ that is the keeper of the gate. The Holy One of Israel. And he employs no other servant there. After our last breath, the first thing that we're going to see is the face of our Savior. And I'm hoping and I pray that we will hear these words like we can read in Matthew 25. And I'm just going to read part of the verse, Matthew 25, 21st verse, towards the end. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. I thank you.